Welcome to the Reign of Grace radio broadcast. My name is Bill Parker. I'm the pastor of the 13th Street Baptist Church in Ashland, Kentucky. This program is sponsored by the members of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia, located at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia. I'll be bringing you a gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the Lord Jesus Christ from God's holy word. And now, the message.
Now today I'm going to be preaching from the book of Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to begin in verse 20 of this chapter, and the title of the message is Learning Christ. Now last week I preached from these verses, some of these verses, on the subject of a Christian education. From the same verse 20 of learning Christ, it says, "But you have not so learned Christ." And the Apostle Paul is speaking there to the believers at the church in Ephesus, which was a Gentile city. It was a city that was fraught with idolatry. It was fraught with open immorality, as much of the Gentile world was back then. And he's seeking to encourage these believers in the church at Ephesus not to be conformed to their surroundings, to their environment, to the world around them. Paul had spoken of this before when he spoke of the obedience of a believer. Now, the obedience of a believer has to do with being a disciple or a learner of Christ. We learn Christ, for example, when we are first converted through the preaching of the gospel and the power of the Holy Spirit, when we're born again by the Spirit, where we learn who He is, what He accomplished at Calvary, why He did it, and where He is now. The gospel of God's grace. We learn then how God saves sinners by grace, not of works. Paul had written back in Ephesians chapter 2, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then he defines a Christian in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 as the workmanship of God created in Christ Jesus unto good works, whereunto God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And so we learn Christ in our conversion when we come to Him by faith and rest in Him and His finished work on Calvary as forming our whole salvation, our redemption, our righteousness before God. We stand before God accepted in Christ, the Beloved, washed in His blood and clothed in His righteousness. And therefore, as the result of God's grace in Christ and applied to us by the power of the Holy Spirit, we are to continually learn Christ. We're to continually follow Him, continually seek to be conformed to Him and not be conformed to the world. Now, this is what Paul's talking about. Let me go back up and read verse 17 that I dealt with last week. He says, "This I say, therefore, that is because you're saved by grace, and testify in the Lord that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind." The vanity of the mind there is the worthlessness of the mind that is not set on Christ and Him crucified. It's the unregenerate mind. It's the mind that is set on anything but that which is of God and from God and to the glory of God in Christ. The vanity of the mind could describe a person who is openly immoral and rebellious, or it could describe a person who is religious but lost. You see, religion without Christ is nothing but vanity, worthless. He says in verse 18, having the understanding darkened. The understanding is darkened, meaning ignorance. That is, they are ignorant of the true way of salvation. They're ignorant of God's way. They're ignorant of godliness. The Scripture says that even the Jews, in Romans chapter 10, that they had a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Well, what is the righteousness of God? Or who is the righteousness of God? Well, Romans 10:4 tells us, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." Now, what that means is simply this. You have to be righteous to be accepted before a holy God. You have to be righteous to be saved. You have to be righteous to enter heaven. You are not righteous in yourself, and you cannot make yourself righteous by your works. How then can a sinner be made righteous? It has to be by the grace of God through the obedience and death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ alone is our righteousness. And if we're going to be righteous, we must lay hold of Him, believe in Him, and rest in Him. Now, until we do, our understandings are darkened. And then he says, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness or the hardness of their heart. In other words, as long as a sinner who is naturally hard-hearted, naturally blind and ignorant, as long as a sinner refuses to turn to the God of grace through Christ and Him crucified, then he is alienated from the life of God. There's no life there, no spiritual life. Paul had described that back in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. He said, "And you who were dead in trespasses and sins, yet now hath he quickened." And then he says in verse 19, "Who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness." To be past feeling is almost like being numb to sin. It's like a person of a reprobate mind who cannot tell the difference between right and wrong. They call good evil and evil good. They go about their way in lasciviousness. That is an unbridled sinfulness. And there's no checks or balances. There's no inhibitions. It's just all open. If it feels good, do it. That's what it is. And that could be in immorality, sexual immorality. It could be in religion, whatever it is. It's anything that's not based on God's word. And it's greediness because it fulfills the lust of the flesh. In other words, there's no good to anyone else there. There's no glory to God. It is all in self-fulfillment. But now here's what Paul says in verse 20 to the Ephesian believers. He said, "But you have not so learned Christ." Now to engage yourself and your attitude and your walk and your conduct in such behavior, that's not the way a believer has learned Christ. In other words, a believer has no excuse for sin. Now, it's not that a believer does not and will not sin. We're still sinners. I've said it so many times on this program, there are only two types of people in this world. There are lost sinners lost in their sins and sinners saved by grace. And a believer, a sinner saved by grace, has to fight the warfare of the flesh and the spirit. We've been delivered from the condemning power of sin, the damning power of sin, but we have not been delivered from the influence and presence and contamination of indwelling sin. That's why we're involved in a warfare. That's why we have to strive to walk after the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Many times in Scripture you'll see believers who have fallen into sin. They didn't lose their salvation, but they fell to the flesh. And they have to be recovered and brought back. That's why we need the blood of Christ today as much as ever. I'm in need of the blood of Christ for the forgiveness of all my sins today as I ever was in my Christian life. But you see, a believer has been delivered from the damning power of sin, but he must fight the presence of indwelling sin. Now, how do we do that? Well, we do it not in order to be saved. That's a legalism, you see. That's mercenary religion. But we do it because we already are saved. The motivation is not earned rewards or earned blessings or earned salvation. The motivation is blessings, salvation, given already freely by grace in Christ. You don't do it in order to become righteous. Your righteousness is in Christ if you're a believer, if you've learned Him. So we continually learn Him. And it says in verse 21, "If so be that you have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus." Have you heard Christ, the voice of Christ? I mentioned this last week. Not an audible voice or a vision, but the Word of God, the Gospel, in the power of the Holy Spirit. You say, "Well, how do I know if I've heard it in the power of the Holy Spirit?" Well, are you convinced of it? Are you convicted of your sins? And convicted of the glory and the power of Christ to save you from your sins? Do you believe in Him? Do you love him and rest in him? And do you follow him? And that's what Paul's talking about here. And here's what he says now. Look at verse 22. He says that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness, or literally, holiness of the truth. So what is he saying here? Now, if you've truly learned Christ, and if you're continually learning Christ, if you've tasted the gift of God, if you've been brought to faith in him, then you're to be engaged in a conduct, in a lifestyle that continually puts off the former conversation. That word conversation covers a lot of ground. It means not only what you say, like in conversation with a person, but it means your whole walk, your conduct, your attitude. And what he's saying is, if you've learned Christ and if you're learning Christ, don't walk like you used to walk before you knew Christ. That's what he's saying. And he calls it the old man. Now that term old man, it can be, sometimes you'll see the term old man, for example, in Romans chapter 6. There in Romans chapter 6, the old man means the former standing of condemnation in Adam. And he says that that was crucified with Christ when Christ put away our sins. Here the old man means the unregenerate man. That's what I was before I was born again by the Spirit. And what he's saying, before I was born again by the Spirit, I was ignorant of God's grace. I was ignorant of the true and living God. I was ignorant of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I was ignorant of his way of salvation. Now, my particular ignorance showed forth itself mainly in false religion, but it also showed forth in other ways too. How your particular ignorance showed forth may be some other way. But here's the point. Here's the point. You didn't know Christ. You didn't know him crucified. You didn't know the power of his grace, the power of his truth, the power of his Spirit that would motivate you and energize you to learn him and to walk after him and to follow him. You didn't rest in him. And you acted like one who didn't know Christ. You may have thought you knew him, but you didn't. And that's what he says. Put off the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. In other words, that corruption, that corruption was according to a deception and unlawful desire. In other words, it was an unlawful desire that deceived you. You were deceived and you didn't know you were deceived. Now, that's the nature of deception, isn't it? A person who knows they're deceived, they're not deceived anymore. But you see, you were deceived by your own ignorance, by your own will, by your own darkness. You sought salvation in some other way but Christ and him crucified. You frittered away your life in your lasciviousness or your immoral behavior. In some way, you didn't glorify God. And he says, stop doing that. Stop following that kind of lifestyle. And engage yourself in the lifestyle of grace. He says first in verse 23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now, the walk of a believer begins in the mind and the heart. You know, the Pharisees were good about religiously trying to clean up the outside of the cup, Christ said. And this is what he says about all false religion. They can make a person look clean outwardly, but they can't change the heart. They can't change the mind and the conscience, the affections and the will. They're like the little boy who wouldn't sit still in church one time, in a church service. And his mother made him sit down. And the little boy said, well, I'm sitting on the outside, but I'm standing on the inside. You see, religion can make good the outside of the cup. Make it look good. Christ said of the Pharisees, they appear righteous unto men, but it cannot clean the inner man. The heart, the mind, the conscience. And when he says be renewed in the spirit of your mind, he's talking about continually learning Christ. Now, the mind is renewed in spirit by the Holy Spirit when the conscience is cleared of all guilt and defilement, when a sinner looks to Christ for salvation. You see, up until that time, the guilty conscience stirs people up to trying to establish a righteousness of their own. But when a sinner turns to Christ, the mind, the heart is purified by faith. We look to Him and we see what He accomplished on Calvary. To be renewed in the spirit of your mind is to continually, first of all, be reminded of what Christ accomplished and to continually learn what it is He would have us do from His Word. Read His Word, study His Word, follow His Word. And then He says in verse 24, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness, or holiness of the truth. The new man there is the regenerate man. It's what a sinner is in Christ, who has been born again by the Spirit, who has seen his sinfulness and his wretchedness and his need of grace and mercy in Christ, and who has believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, one who has ran to Christ and who rests in Him and clings to Him and seeks to follow Him. And he puts on the new man by continually realizing what he is in Christ. I know this, continually, that the law of God can never condemn me again. You see, the Bible says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. In other words, it's God Himself, the judge of all, who has declared me righteous in Christ. He has made me accepted in the Beloved. And then it goes on in Romans 8 to say, who can condemn us? For it's Christ that died, yea, rather is risen again and seated at the right hand of the Father, ever living to make intercession for us. When we put on the new man, we continually realize and remind ourselves from His Word by the Spirit who we are in Christ, that we're holy, harmless, undefiled in Him, that we're clean and righteous in Him. And this new man was after God. In other words, salvation's of the Lord. I didn't create him. You didn't create him. He's created in righteousness. That is what Christ accomplished on Calvary by the will and purpose of God, and in true holiness, or holiness of truth. Now, what I believe that's saying is this. That's speaking of the work of Christ on Calvary as the ground of our salvation, and the work of the Spirit within us in the new birth as the fruit of our salvation. Christ, what He did on Calvary in His obedience and death, is the ground, the cause. You see, what the Holy Spirit does in us in salvation, in giving us life and bringing us to faith in Christ, is the fruit, the effect. And it's the holiness of truth, because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. In other words, He's going to guide us to all truth. Well, Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So if the Holy Spirit guides you in all truth, where is He going to guide you? He's going to guide you to Christ and Him crucified for all of salvation. I heard a person make the statement one time. They were talking about conviction. And they were talking about someone who was continually sorrowing and crying because of their guilt and their sinfulness. And they made the statement, said, I believe the Holy Spirit is convicting that person. Well, now, we prayed and hoped that the Holy Spirit was doing so. But I'll tell you how you can know if such tears and conviction over guilt and sin and defilement is true Holy Spirit conviction. And it's this. Where do they ultimately end up? Where do they find relief from the conviction of guilt and defilement and sin? You see, a person can be torn to pieces inside about their sinfulness and their depravity and their guilt. And what they're seeking is relief. Some seek relief by avoiding it, just putting it out of their mind. And it lays there for years and grows like a cancer until ultimately it reaches up and grabs them and comes out in some horrendous way. Some seek relief in society. They have other people. They go to an analyst or a therapist who says, you're all right. Don't worry about it. Some and most seek a relief in religion, in the religion of works. and they'll go give their give their testimony, walk an aisle, get baptized, give their tithe, and they find relief there. But and if you find relief there, that is not Holy Spirit conviction. If it's Holy Spirit conviction, you'll find relief in one and one alone, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You won't find relief anywhere else but at the foot of the cross, at the mercy seat where the blood is shed and where righteousness is established. And that's how the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of holiness and truth. Well, He guides you into all truth. He continually guides and indwells God's people. He says in verse 25, He says, wherefore, putting away lying. What's He saying there? Simply, quit lying. Don't lie. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. He's specifically talking about the relationship of believers to believers there. We ought not lie to one another. We don't have to lie to one another in pretending to be more or something that we're not. We don't have to tell lies. We can be honest people, people of the light. He says in verse 26, be ye angry and sin not. He's talking about righteous anger there. There is an anger that is a righteous anger. Now, it doesn't mean we're perfect. Many times we have a hard time discerning between what's righteous anger and selfish anger. But you see, when what he's talking about there is our, we ought to be on a warfare against sin. That's what he's speaking of. In other words, I ought not take a casual view of my own sinfulness. I ought not take a permissive view towards my own sinfulness. You know, some people may say this. They may say, well, if you believe all of salvation is by grace, then it doesn't matter what you do. No, be ye angry and sin not. Don't take such an attitude towards sin. If God has shown you grace, then you declare war on sin. Be angry at sin. And that's what he's saying. And he says, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. He's not saying there that you shouldn't go to bed angry, even though you shouldn't. You know, we shouldn't go to bed angry and all that, especially selfish anger. But what he's saying here is this, that as long as we're in this life, we are to continually be angry at sin and war with sin. We're never to say, well, I'm finished and it's over. I finally made it. The only time you're going to be finished in the warfare of the flesh and the spirit, the only time you're going to say I've made it is when you leave this life. And you go to be with the Lord. And then he says, neither give place to the devil. Verse 27. Don't give way to Satan. Now, Satan has been defeated in the lives of believers in two ways. Now, let me show you this. Number one, we've spoken of both ways already. Number one, at the cross. Satan is known as the great accuser of the brethren. And here's the thing. Now, if somebody were to come to you today and bring the police and accuse you of a crime and bring forth evidence that shows you to be guilty, they would haul you into jail, then haul you into court, and you'd be tried. The evidence would be brought against you. The charges would be seen to stick, and you'd have to pay the penalty. But now, what if somebody came to you and charged you with a crime and you weren't guilty of the crime? The charges don't stick. You don't have to pay the penalty. Well, now this is what we're talking about when we talk about Christ defeating Satan at the cross. Satan is the great accuser of the brethren. But when he accuses the brethren, the charges will not stick. Now you say, well, wait a minute, I'm a sinner. Then how can the charges not stick? Well, we have a substitute. We have an advocate. We have a surety. We have a sin bearer. And the charges go to him. And he fulfilled the penalty of all the charges against me. Again, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. It's Christ that died. Secondly, Satan is defeated in the new birth when the Holy Spirit brings a sinner out of darkness into Christ's marvelous light. Satan's hold upon that individual is broken. But now Satan can still attack. He can still trouble you. He can still bother you. He can still enter your life and twist your mind to a point now. He cannot bring you back under perdition, but he can bother you. And that's why he says, neither give place to the devil. In other words, don't give up on the fight and the warfare. That's not how you learn Christ. Christ was continually opposed to all that was sinful. Christ declared war on sin. He defeated sin, and he now tells us to declare war on sin within ourselves. Don't give up. Don't give place to the devil. Don't give place to the flesh. Don't walk after the flesh. Don't mind the things of the flesh. Walk after the Spirit and mind the things of the Spirit. Why? Not because we're trying to work our way into God's favor. Not because we're trying to earn our salvation or our blessings from God. But because God has saved us freely, unconditionally, by His grace and mercy in Christ. And He's freely given us all things in Christ. That's how we've learned Him. And that's how we'll continually learn the Lord Jesus Christ as we go through His Word and as we fight the warfare of the flesh and spirit. We're learning Him, you see, and we're seeking Him and resting in Him. We have no way out of this mess ourselves or by our own power. It's in Christ. Now, I hope this has been helpful to your understanding of the Scriptures. If you'd like to receive a copy of this message, listen to the announcer and he'll give you the details. The title of the message is Learning Christ. And I hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We're glad you could join us for today's message. If you would like to receive a copy of this message, or if you would like more information about Eager Avenue Grace Church, remember, we are located at 1102 Eager Drive in Albany, Georgia. You can call us at 229-432-6969 or visit our Reign of Grace website at www.rofgrace.com. Thank you, and may the Lord be with you.